The first scripture is taken from Isaiah 58. We all know that passage is about fasting. We'll read through. Let's start from verse 1. It's a long passage. But as we read and as we're getting ready for fasting, I pray that the Holy Spirit will show you 1, 2, 3 verses here that will govern the way or our approach to fasting in these first 7 days of January. It says, "Cry aloud, do not spare. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily. And they delight to know my ways. Like a nation that did righteousness. They did not and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching me. They say to me, 'Lord, why have we fasted and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you have no notice?'" Year after year, and it starts coming up in the news, churches will start declaring their 30-day fast, just as they did last year. 40-day fast, dry fast, all kinds of fast. It happens every year. And yet nothing will change. The year will still end, and we still would not have seen the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in a huge way upon our land. What do they call the definition of insanity? When you do the same thing over and over again and you hope for a different result. Isn't it about time we as churches ask ourselves, because we know we have a powerful God, why have we fasted and America is not for Christ? Why are workers, why is the predominant news still about Trump, not about Jesus? Why have we called upon the angels of heaven? There's a church that has been praying, my wife brought this to my notice, they lost a little girl. As anybody caught that news, and they had been praying. The last time we discussed it was the fourth day they were praying that the girl would come back to life. And I think because I have this news app on my what's it called? No, it was on Twitter actually. I got a tweet from Seed Christianity Today that says that they've been praying now and the girl has not risen, but it's probably a week and a half. Why? Why do we pray and the dead do not rise up again? Isn't it about time as a church? I thank God for the song this morning that reminded us that how great thou art. Oh Lord, my God, you made the heaven. Because I came into church this morning and I said, Lord, I was saying to myself, there's the highway. This the world rejoices in its splendor. Where is the glory of the Lord Jesus in this land? Everywhere I look, I see technology. I see people glory. Where is the glory of the Lord? Where is the glory of the Lord? Then the song suddenly reminded me that he made the stars and the month had forgotten. If we're not careful, what we see are the things before us. There's miracle. We serve a God who does wonder. We serve a God who keeps us from the hospitals and saves and heals us when we're in the hospital. But he also does wonders. He raises the dead. He opens the eyes of the blind. Have we as Christians asked ourselves, Lord, why? Should we not ask ourselves why? Lord, where is thy... I think there was a song this morning again that says, show your power, O Lord. Show your power. That has been my constant prayer. Lord, we need miracles. We need miracles, Father. Why? So Israel here, the Lord here was speaking through Isaiah. And he said, They are fasting. They love to read the Bible. They love to seek me. But there's something that is missing. Why have we fasted? Verse 3, 58. "And you have not seen. Why have we afflicted our souls and you have not noticed? Because in fact, in the day that you fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. What is Christ saying? The Holy Spirit is saying that, well, the way this is interpreted is that in the day you fast, you anoint your face with oil, that you should go to the top of the mountain, right? Cut yourself up. This is traditionally in some churches the way this is interpreted. But what the Lord is saying here is everything just goes on as normal for you. Fasting is just an exercise for you, essentially. In the day you fast, you find pleasure and exploit your laborers. Fasting is not a day for you who are business owners to reevaluate how you deal with your owners. It's not, we don't take stock. In all of our relationships, you have not taken fasting. You're saying you're talking to the Lord, but have you looked at yourself? Fasting is taken as an exercise always to look to the Lord. Christ is saying, but have you looked at yourself? You're asking my hand in miracles. I'm asking your hand in changes. I think it says it. Let me know. Let's read on. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this to make your voice heard on high. That's why I'm not hearing your voice. Some of us, we're fasting and still there's someone that we're holding in unforgiveness. Some of us have broken homes and we're fasting. Some of us have siblings we are fighting and we're fasting. Some of us have workers we don't talk to and we hate and we're fasting. Some of us have mothers-in-law and fathers-in-law that we just can't stand. And we're not really evaluating that. The Lord is saying here in this verse, indeed you fast for strife and for debate. I don't know what other translation, I'm sure that debate will be rendered differently in other translations. With feast of wickedness and debate. And to strike with the feast of, because some people's fasting is actually let my enemies die. You are fasting to strike with the fist of wickedness in the face of Jesus Christ. Said, there's no way you can fast like this, and I will hear you, says the Lord. Is it a fast that I have chosen? Really? The Lord is saying. Is it just a day for a man to afflict his soul? Just to go without food until 6 p.m. Today, brethren, I'm not talking about all the regular fasting debates because the Bible, in my research, the Bible does not care. Is it water fast? Is it dry fast? Is it full fast? Is it 7 days? All kinds of those fasts, you can derive them from the Bible. So the Bible is not so much concerned about how you fast, but your heart. Is it tea fast? Whatever it is, fast means to deny yourself. Most fast in the Bible is doing without food, without water, whether evening. There's no prescription. There are people who will go without water and drink and God will bless them. And some people who will go eating and drinking and God will bless them more. So the Bible is not so much. Can you think about it? Do you think the Most High God really is impressed that we're able to go 3, 4, 7 days without food? Do you think, just look at it, the God you know, the God of intelligence, the one who knows, do you think is really impressed at how much we can starve ourselves? You think not. He made the fools and the wine. What he's impressed about is that our hearts yearn to draw near to him. That's what impresses him. He's not a God of form. He's a God of substance. Is it a fast, verse 5, that I've chosen? Is it just a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head like bulrush, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast? And an accepted day to the Lord? 6. Is this not a fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. to lose the bonds of wickedness. As we approach the 1st of January, think about it. Is anybody oppressed by reason of who you are? This is an opportunity to please the Lord. Is anybody afraid of you at work? This is a new beginning, a time to reset. To undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Do you have an opportunity to make someone to answer, to be the answer to someone's prayer in the next 7 days? This is the fast that God wants. And if you look at it, the opportunities are there. If you eat and drink, and you can dig into your pocket and feel the pain of another man, you have fasted before the Lord. If because of fasting, you can concentrate on your sins and ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse it, you have fasted. In the Old Testament, fasting was just an exercise. In the New Testament, no. The Lord is looking at the substance of it. To break every verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. New Covenant Church, should we not be challenged? Should we not be challenged? That verse 7 stared me in the face. And we need to pray about it. If God says this is the kind of fast, if the Lord says this is the kind of fast that I want, I don't want this verse. Satan will love this verse to just disappear and us to just fast. But the Bible does say, share your bread with the hungry and bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, cover him. Do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Is this the kind of fast we are planning from January 1 to 7? Let me rephrase the question. Should this not be the kind of fast that we plan? And yet nobody says anything. Do you disagree with me? It is the word of God. Okay, let me ask another question. In your last 30 fasts, how many times have you done this? Today it's January 2020, 30 years. We weren't here 30 years ago, but we're here 20 years ago. When was 2000? Wow, 2000, we're getting old. How many times have a fasting strategy been around verse 7? And I know that Christ is not talking about an occasion here. He's talking about a lifestyle. And your argument might be, as a lifestyle we do. But my question will still be, do we do it enough that we feel the pinch of fasting because of this? Do you understand what I mean? Because fasting means concentrated focus. Are we focused on that? By the grace of God, next year, let's remind ourselves the fasting that God wants. Let's strategize personally, individually, not in talking ways. Because some people will go and buy McDonald's and give it to the Bible and fulfill that scripture. That's not the spirit. Maybe it's the year when you set up part of your budget consistently for the poor. Maybe it's the year when every morning you remember the naked who do not have clothes. The Lord said, the fast that includes this is the kind of fast that he wants. But look at that. The Lord gave me a revelation about that verse 7, the last part. He said, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Because traditionally, fasting means setting yourself apart. But I realize that actually what God wants is that the time of fasting will be the time of family communion. Will be the first time when if you do not spend time with your kids, you spend time with them. If you do not have devotion in your house, you have devotion in your house. You strengthen the altar of the Most High God. It's the time when you find peace with your wife. When you make peace with your husband. You do not hide yourself from your own flesh. The time of fasting is the time to correct every error, everything that precludes the glory of the Lord from our lives. And we know fighting, discord, is one of it. The Lord actually means the opposite of what we traditionally thought he would mean. The Lord is not impressed with a man that refuses to shave his beard, and we see that in Matthew, grows out his hair because he's fasting. No. If you are cold and distant, the time of fasting is time to draw near, to reconcile, to have a fellowship. It's a time when your wife should bless you and your husband should bless you. It's a time when you put aside every fight. If you have not spoken to your spouse in the last several days, the time of fasting is the time to start speaking with your spouse. Which one is easier, to skip breakfast or lunch, or to forgive someone who has sinned against you? That is fasting. Which one is easier, to wake up at 5 a.m. and pray, or to pick up a telephone and say, I forgive you, to someone who hates you? That is fasting. That is real fasting. That is why it's hard. And to do it for Christ's sake. Not just doing it, but because I'm seeking the face of my Lord, the Lord will rise from heaven and say, I see you. Muslims fast, Buddhists fast. There was a comedian, what was his name? He was known for fasting. Some people actually fast as protest, social protest. They actually fast to death. So fasting is not a uniquely Christian experience. What is uniquely Christian is that we fast in the will of God. Share your bread. Be nice. You, husband, it's time to help your wives. Not just for the 7 days. It's a time to start like Jesus, taking the burden upon yourself. To be the servant. It's the time to start showing the compassion of Christ in a higher dimension. That is the fast that Christ won. That is the fast that impresses him. Not that we're able to go biribiri. Because that biribiri is no food, no water. And they come out shrunken. One thing that made me start studying fast is I remember years ago, I think I've said it. I remember the 7 days I'm fast. I'm so holy. Honestly, I feel the wind. I feel everything. At work, I'm so serene. Until the Lord showed me that it's because you don't have sugar in your system. It's not because of any righteous holiness. It's just that you are lacking calories. And true to form, once I start eating and the calories start cruising again, I'm back to my reactionary, and only by the grace of God, not by fasting, but by the grace of God, have I been able to tamper down and I'm still working progress. The Lord showed me the holiness you feel during fasting and pray, unless it's permanent, it's not the result of fasting. It's just that you don't have energy. That's why it disappears 3 days after fasting. And the Lord watches us. But why does it keep disappearing? Because you are fasting the way you want. Every true fast, the fast of Nineveh, started with repentance. The fast of Ahab, the wicked man, started with repentance. The fast of David starts with repentance. The fast of Joel starts with repentance. If you look at Joel chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, it says that, repent and fast. So our fast in New Covenant Church comes from assessing who you are, where you are, and before the Lord who sees the heart, first repent. Then in verse 8 it says, that's when your light will break forth like morning, your healing will spring forth speedily, Your righteousness will go before the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Isn't that why we're fasting? That is what we want, verse 8. But we must do verse 7, verses 1 to 7. Deal sincerely with the Lord in fasting, and he will deal sincerely with you. Many times we are deceived by tradition. But remember, he is the Lord, he changeth not. He's not moved by tradition. He will allow them to keep doing the Feast of the Booth and the Tabernacle the way they want until their eyes open to scriptures and they say, ah, Lord, we're sorry. He allowed them to do it for hundreds of years or tens. I don't know the timeline. But he waited patiently till their eyes open. The Lord is waiting for us to do fasting the way he wants. So we don't take a long time. Let's go. Let's see another scripture real quick. Let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 18. And hear our Lord Jesus Christ. From verse 8. No, not Luke 18. Let's open rather to Matthew 6 first. Matthew 6. Yeah. I'd like to point something from verse 16. This is the Lord's prescription about fasting. It said, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces and they make appear to men to be fasting. I say to you, they have already received their reward. So I'm going to pick up from where Brother Bumi said, if you are fasting to lose weight, you are going to lose weight and that will be your reward. You may as well go and join weight gainer or weight loser for that one. If you are fasting to have longer life, you will have longer life, but that will be your reward. But I pray you just have healthy habits. You increase your life. If you want, let's fast for something bigger. Let's fast that the capital we see the name of Jesus. Let's fast that the glory of the Lord will be on us. Let's fast that everybody around us will be restless until they see the kingdom come. That is worthy of our fast. So the Lord said we should not disfigure our faces when we fast. He said because the ulterior motives to fasting, that will be your reward. You will get it, but that will be your reward. If you are fasting that they will know you are Jim, they will think you are Jim, but that will be your reward. And when they have a problem, they will come to you so that you can lay hands on them. That's your reward, laying empty hands on empty head. That will be your reward. But you, when you fast, dress the best you can. Don't appear to be meant to be fasting. It is time to roll out the, you know, all of that hair that you people buy and you call your own. Roll it out. It's time to don't even let anybody know anything is going on. At work, it's not time to fast and then you're in the meter. Sorry, we're doing fasting and praying in our church. Get ready. Because you're going to be hungry and you're going to be sleepy. Strategize. If not, say, oh, you do that? How do you do that? Oh, that's fantastic. You've received your reward. They have already spoiled your fast because that's your reward. But fasting away, verse 8, but to that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your heavenly Father who is in secret, who is in the secret, and your Father who sits in secret will reward you openly. Secret fast. That's my slight problem with corporate fast. Because people almost feel compelled. Right? But at least it encourages people to fast. Are there some of you who still fast when there is no corporate fast called? That only God knows their fasting. The Lord loves such. But the Lord also loves us to come together as a body. In the Bible, they call a fast several times. But take note of this as you go about. Because at the end of your fast, you want your prayers to be answered. And you want the Lord to hear you. Now, let's open our Bibles to Jonah chapter 3 real quick. And I was really impressed with the people of Nineveh. So I'm thinking we should declare a Ninevite fast in New Covenant Church. These are people who just went about doing their own thing, and they had the prophet come, and the prophet prophesied to them. And what they did really, really impressed me. In chapter 3, we know the story of Jonah, how he was reluctant. Verse 4, he said, Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. He cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Some people will like to just, if you hear this, because there was no impending danger, they had things going on, the nightclubs were opened, the business went on as usual. But what did these people do? So the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. They believed God. They believed God. And proclaimed a fast. They believed the word of God. As we're going into fasting, are you being moved by faith? Do you believe God? Do you believe Jesus is coming soon? Do you truly believe that the trumpet can sound at any time? Do you believe that the kingdom of God is amidst men? Do you really believe he has the power to do everything more than we could ever ask or think about? Do you believe the word of God? Some of us fast in order to pull the Lord's hands down as though we could. They started by believing the word of God. They fasted in hope. They fasted in faith. The word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, and from the violence that is in his hands, and from the violence that is in his hands, and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? This is the fast that God wants. A fast where we look at ourselves and we turn to the Lord. A sincere fast. A fast where we examine ourselves first. We repent of our sins. We believe in the ability of God to do wonders. This is the kind of fast that has worked for saints who walked with Christ for a long time. If you read them, look at Esther. Look at Daniel. They fasted. Daniel actually ate. He just did not eat fine food and fine wine. He ate for 3 days. The Bible says he kept himself from choice food and wine. So he did not eat his normal diet. And for him, for someone who was in palaces, that was quite a denial. But the Lord honored his prayer. Esther, no food, no water. Their life was at stake. All kinds. But they were serious. Daniel, when he was praying, I was struck. The man described as, he said he prayed for himself, for the sins of his people and his own sin. If you check Daniel chapter 10, he prayed for the sins of his people and his own. As we go before the Lord in fasting, let us be humble. The Lord told the parable of two people who approached the Lord in prayer. One was a Pharisee, the other was a sinner, tax collector. And one said, I'm fasting because I'm a Christian. I'm fasting because, like other men, I do not take bribes. I do not do this. I do not do that. I'm not, I thank you, Father. I fast twice a week. He said, I fast twice a week. The other one said, oh Lord, I'm such a miserable sinner. Please have mercy on your servant. The Bible says, which one of these went home justified? What is your heart this morning as we approach fasting and praying? I pray that this year's fasting and praying, in the way we go about it, in our heart, in our implementation of it, will be the way that Jesus wants us to. And at the end of it, certainly the glory of the Lord will be upon us. We pray we will not have wasted another 7 days this year, but we'll truly seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Remember compassion. Remember, if you hide iniquity in your heart, no matter how hard you fast, the Lord will not hear you. Have the courage to do the right thing in Christ. You are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens. Believe in God for incredible things. And when you cannot, pray. But never accept anything that is less than what God wants for you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word again. Lord, as it's been spoken, now, Lord, as always, we ask for the courage. Because you said it's not the hearers or the preachers of the word, but the doers of the works that will be blessed. As you have revealed to us, Lord, that you are interested in sincerity, that you want us to examine ourselves, that you want us to examine your word, that you want us to desire lives that more resemble what Christ wants in our fasting, in our praying. Give us the courage, Father, to perform it in Jesus' name. Only by your grace are we able to. Move within us, Father. Stir our hearts, Father, to do the things that you want. Help us not to focus only on what we want you to do. Father, I pray, God, as our hearts desire to please you, give us the grace, give us the courage, give us the energy to do what you want us to do. To touch the poor, to touch the naked. We may not know how to do it, but Lord, as we desire it, I know, God, that you will help us to do it. That this new year, every day, not just the fasting season, but every day will be filled with your glory and with your grace. Thank you, Father, for teaching us. Thank you for showing us good things in your word. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it's right that when we hear the word of the Lord to us,